Well, wrapping up here at the Open University, and I'm hoping that the next person I speak to, Alan Shipman, will be able to shed a little bit of light on what's been going on here today. We're still in the library. It's a little bit noisy around us. Please excuse that. Alan, what's your job title here at the Open University?
I'm a lecturer in economics.
And is it right to say that you didn't necessarily listen or watch what was happening on the TV, but you read the transcript?
I have seen the transcript as it was delivered.
And is that a better way, do you think, of digesting all the information so that you're not put off by the hand gestures and the normal political delivery that we're often faced with?
Given that this speech was something like an economics lecture, then yes, it might well be easily digested on print rather than hearing it first off.
So how can you make me slightly educated but not very clued up when it comes to the economy individual understand a little bit more of what was talked about today? Because I didn't hear any really striking, shocking points coming out of this.
Well, I think the Prime Minister was trying to shock. He was trying to present an enormous and rapidly growing public debt and defending his plans to cut public spending on the basis that there is no alternative, that debt has to be brought down. So he was intending to shock as a prelude to a very tough budget coming up later this month.
But without the stats and without any kind of examples of how the government's going to do this, it seemed to be a little bit without substance. How do you feel about it, looking kind of from the inside out in a way?
I suppose the substance comes later when George Osborne presents the budget. What the Prime Minister was trying to do today was spell out the magnitude of his task, which is really the magnitude of the public deficit and the debt that results from that and the way that the debt is going to grow over the next few years. I have to say that when you look at that figure in absolute terms, yes, it's horrendously big. When you compare it with the also very large national income, it's not terribly big. And even if the national debt goes to 70% of gross domestic product, as is forecast, that's not historically particularly high. And you would expect it to be high, given that the government had to step in to avert a major financial crisis 2 years ago.
So we shouldn't necessarily worry as much as the government may say we need to, or at least they're preparing us for. Do you think it's because when the news comes out, we're going to go, oh, it's not as bad as I thought?
Well, the government's certainly right to say that if we did nothing, if we allowed public debt to keep growing, if we kept running deficits of this size, then the economy would be in trouble, the world would stop lending to us, we'd have a major crisis. The government also runs a risk that if it reduces or tries to reduce its deficit too rapidly, it actually chokes off the economic growth that we've got, and it becomes more difficult to get ourselves out of a debt problem. And the financial markets might panic about the fact that there's too little growth. So it's a very delicate balance. And it is always possible that if the budget is too tight and growth slows, it becomes more difficult to get out of the debt scenario that David Cameron is talking about.
So not necessarily, we won't really be rioting in the streets or facing mass panic. You'd think this is more than manageable.
It's going to be very difficult to deliver the magnitude of public spending cuts quickly, which the Prime Minister was preparing the way for. It's always been clear that painful spending cuts have to be made. The Conservatives' programme was the most painful, partly because it didn't want to raise taxes. And it remains the case that when the economy is slow growing and there are cyclical pressures for the government to increase its spending, that sort of spending reduction, 6 billion, is going to be difficult to attain. And there is a danger that if that results in fewer benefits being paid, less spending, less employment in the public sector, it's actually going to drag down the demand side of the economy and the growth will be slower. And then the debt just doesn't shrink in the way that people expect.
So as an academic here at the Open University, let's imagine hypothetically you're called in to Downing Street tomorrow and they say, can you give us a very quick synopsis of how you would do this? How will you sort out the country? What would be the big sweeping changes, cuts that you would try to get put through?
I think when we look at strategies for reducing the public deficit, it is necessary to look at tax increases as well as spending reductions. The role of government over time tends to increase, and there are understandable reasons for that. We do look for public services to expand, healthcare and education particularly. We look for physical public infrastructures to expand, even the environment. One of the big problems at the moment requires a lot of public spending. Governments do have to grow over time in relation to national output, and that's not necessarily bad for the growth of the overall economy. There is also obviously a transfer, a redistributive side to public spending, and the Prime Minister's comments today actually focused on that, and particularly in the need to reduce benefits and be stricter on the current side of the government budget. It's debatable whether that has an impact, because that is simply redistribution from one part of the private sector to another. That's not the government ultimately spending that money. And it's not clear, again, that we are up at a limit of redistribution. In fact, the social agenda for the government suggests that redistribution is still very important. So I think one has to be careful about the need to reduce the size of government, and certainly one has to be realistic about the ease with which that can be done. It's extremely difficult, and even previous Conservative governments committed to reducing the size of the public sector have only made marginal differences. The ultimate way to shrink the public sector is to get the private sector growing around it, and there one has to be careful about taking away fiscal stimulus too quickly.
He talked quite a lot about how this is, unprecedented for in the amount. This hasn't happened for a very long time. Is this quite an exciting time for your students as such?
Well, we haven't had government running deficits of this scale and public debt rising at this rate for a long time, but that's because we haven't had a crisis like the 2008 crisis for a long time. And in that situation, governments do have to step in to run a larger deficit to stop the economy shrinking even more rapidly and to speed up the recovery from recession. So, yes, the economics profession has been shaken up because it looked for a long time as if macroeconomic problems of this order were not going to reemerge, and they did so without most economists foreseeing it. It has made it an exciting time to study economics and finance, and a time when I think when students ask questions of their tutors, they very often get rather ambivalent answers because the tutors themselves are having to live with rethinking in the subject. So it's a time when if you go into a tutorial with questions, you might well find that you're helping to produce the answer. A lot of questions are being asked by the professionals as well.
Wow. So to summarise, finally, a down and dirty question. Who do you think is going to be hit the hardest? Those with the most or those with the least?
The government is actually trying to introduce some tax increases on people who are relatively well off. It's quite hard to target those because others are already pointing to the fact that they could inadvertently hit some really quite badly off people who happen to have saved in particular ways. The agenda that they set forward, I think, which has obviously been slightly modified on the entry to coalition, is trying to balance a social agenda which looks quite generous in terms of helping certain sections of society avoid poverty, and quite draconian when it comes to containing public spending in order to avert the debt problems we were talking about earlier. And that's a very difficult balance to attain.
Fascinating. Well, Alan Shipman, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.